Okay, testing one, testing two. Your main man foe dumb buckle dumb shoes.
The truths that we cling to depend on our viewpoint.
Is that Plo Koon?
That's an Obi-Wan Kenobi quote.
Well, it's close enough. Close enough.
I mean, yeah.
It's very good. I like that. Good way to start the show. Welcome to SmaffCast episode, 35 maybe, which is great. I'm so glad we're Tricenarians now. It's a great feeling. I actually just had my 36th actual birthday. It's not as great of a feeling, although I feel great. There's that. You know, you try to take those moments of feeling as young as possible, as often as possible. Tonight, I mean, we're gonna jib jab for a minute here, but I do wanna tell people tonight, we're gonna talk about it. It should be fun. We're gonna talk about teaching kids, not necessarily methods of curriculum or anything like that, but we're gonna talk kind of surface level. If you maybe have some events coming up, like I have an event in a couple nights. It will have already passed by the time you hear this, but it'll be at the local library. We're just going to do a little quick saber training for an hour, you know, in the parking lot, nothing crazy, but stuff like that. Or if you're doing like if you did an event for May the 4th or are doing something this month or in the summertime or whatever, in the community where you're going to invite kids to come and learn with you, or maybe you have kids and you're looking for something to do and somebody around you is going to offer it, this will give you kind of an idea of what you should do or expect. Maybe what kind of sabers to use for teaching kids, at least initially, what kind of gear to maybe have on hand or suggest to parents, and so forth. Safe practices and adjustments. You can still practice good, hardcore, so to say, you know, in air quotes, martial arts with kids. And that's one of those things that I think people don't realize, especially when you talk about junior black belt. We'll get on into all of this. But when you talk about these things, people don't always realize you can do legitimate martial arts with kids. You don't have to water it down at all. But you may have to adjust, and you may have to, pivot, you know what I mean? Some of your methods and manipulations. And so we'll talk about that over the course of this episode. But other than that, Alan, I've talked to you a couple times this week, but how's it going? What's up in your martial world? Anything different or interesting recently?
Not really. I mean, I got back. I had a small trip to Texas and I came back and I have a little bit of a cough. So if I disappear, it's because I've hit mute because I'm coughing up a lung. So, you know.
I love that. I mean, I don't love that for you, but the honesty is appreciable.
Yeah.
So how was Tejas?
It wasn't Texas really. Like it was a Texas light almost because I was in a resort. So I got a taste of Texas, not the full shebang.
Okay.
So they gave us a lot of country music and a lot of Southwestern food. And
you can't really go wrong with either of those things. I'm kind of a sucker for both. I mean, you already live in the Southwest, so you know the food is pretty bomb. But
it was good. We had a great time. And we had to readjust when we came back because we jumped two time zones to be there and had to, you know, adjust our circadian rhythm and then had to switch it back when we got to Arizona. So,
well, you're back, and I'm glad you made it.
Well, me too.
Food was good, it sounds like. That's always the first thing I care about and usually the only thing I care about. So it sounds like the music was good as well. That's usually the only other thing I might care about. So especially like I have a wedding coming up this weekend. I'm not in it or anything. I'm just going as a guest. So for me, it's like, oh, how's the food going to be? How's the music going to be? I don't really care about the rest. And low key, I live on and manage a wedding venue. I'm not going to worry about talking about all that on this particular podcast because it has nothing to do with it. But if you're in Ohio, hopefully you come upon my wedding venue if you're getting married. Anyway, so I live and work at one, but this is at another one. And I'm curious to see what it's like behind enemy lines. So that should be fun. That should be fun eating and drinking and dancing behind enemy lines. And I actually know a couple of the people that work at that venue. They're very nice people. no ill will towards them. So if by in the Starship's chance, in the Maw's chance that they hear this, got no ill will, and we love you guys. So anyway, I personally finally memorized my nunchuck form, like without making any mistakes. And then I go ahead and I made a mistake when I had to do it in front of my Sifu. So back to the dojo, back to practice, back to the Kwun, whatever you want to say. But I'm doing it without hitting myself as much. And the welts on my armpit from catching the chain on the folds of my skin in a sleeveless shirt are starting to wear down. So, you know, progress, right? All in the name of progress. Let's see. This is progress as a teacher. My 46-year-old MMA student, she is a high school teacher and has no desire to fight. She just likes to spar and toss around with the young kids. And she was doing spinning hook kicks tonight, spinning back fists tonight. And not only is she in her mid 40s and doing this completely as an adult, not that that's like ancient, but you know, to be basically starting out, we talked about this several episodes ago where it's like, she's 39 years in, like 5 years, or 39 years out, 5 years in kind of thing. So anyway, she's doing all these fancy pants things, but this lady is, I would say, in the 225 plus pound category, and she's shorter than I am. And if you know what that means, that's like Jawa height. So, but she's, you know, she's got some health things that led to that over time, but she's always been active and she's very flexible and strong, and you know, so I love to see that kind of stuff. So anybody listening that feels like maybe once in a while they can't do something, I just told you I just turned a whole year older and you know, sometimes I feel like I can't do stuff, but you can, and you might not be able to do all the things all the ways that you always could before, but you can still do a bunch of stuff that maybe other people your age or body type or whatever the case is might not be able to do or might not know they're able to do. So just always keep that in mind. Positivity. We talked about this last week. You'll be hearing it this week, which is, this is the month for us Star Wars fans to reinvigorate. So just think about, you know, you can do stuff. I don't like to be like, follow your dreams and all that. It's fortune cookie stuff, but you can do stuff. Believe that you can do stuff and you will be able to do stuff. So there you go.
Right.
225, 230 pounds of Oompa Loompa doing spinning hook kicks and back fists. And if you're hearing this, I'm so sorry that I just called you an Oompa Loompa. You're beautiful and amazing and a great martial artist. But hey, you know, short and a little round, and she is rocking it. So there you go. You can do anything you want. Alan.
Yes, sir.
Housekeeping, Saber Mayhem, go.
Last weekend of the month is Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend, we're going to be doing Saber Mayhem at the LAX Hilton in LA. It's basically a chance for any saberist to come out and try different rule sets.
Oh my god, that is my least favorite. Well, I just threw up in my mouth a little. I hate the word saberist. I'm so sorry. I don't hate you, though. I love you. I think you did it on purpose. I think you knew that.
I did.
Oh God.
I did.
Oh, it tastes like stomach bile.
Anyone that would like to swing or spin a saber, any saber duelists out there that want to try different rule sets with the people that made up those rule sets, I got confirmation that our friends from Terra Prime are going to be there. We have, I believe, San Diego Sabres is going to have a contingent, and so will a couple of other Saber organizations. I want to say that some of them are confirmed, but
Well, SoCal Saber Academy, which is really, really just K at the moment, but he's also part of San Diego Sabres. I believe he's going to try to be there in person.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people that are trying to be there in person, but we will have a Saber Summit Sunday at noon. I mean, you'll have all weekend to come out and play and do the demo rings and stuff like that. But Saber Martial Arts itself is not running a tournament as of yet. I want to break ground with a new idea during the summit so that everybody can sign off on it before we go on and do it for maybe next year. Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, LAX Hilton, it's, I believe, the 24th, 25th, 26th, and then 26th Memorial Day weekend. Yes, the 26th is our actual summit at noon, California time. And if you want more information, reach out to us. We will try to get you involved. And if you're interested in doing it next year, same thing.
Awesome. Let me think. Oh, check out our YouTube. I would love in the next week and two and three and so forth here to get Alan more involved in this. But we just started a new series. We're on our third release called Gamer Martial Arts. And honestly, this is a little pet project because I just freaking love video games so much. But also Alan is like steady click clacking on controllers at the beginning of all these podcasts lately. So like gaming is just a thing that we love. And what we're doing so far, or what I've done so far, is I've started New Journey Plus on Jedi Survivor on my PlayStation. And that has been super fun. It's me sitting in a room talking into a microphone while I'm playing Jedi Survivor. And that is what people do these days. And I see why. It is really fun. And I'm already talking to the screen when I'm playing video games. So, like, why not just put a microphone in the way, right? Now, but part of this is that we are also going to be doing not just game playing, which, by the way, Alan, I just got a capture card for not only my new gen systems, but my old gen systems. So hopefully I can like put some of the old like PlayStation 2, maybe GameCube games in. And even if like you were playing something on a system, we had other people watching and such, this may be something we do some live streams. And the other thing I really want to do is to break down actual physical martial arts that we see in some of these games. So right now I'm actually playing Jedi Survivor, but within a few episodes of the game, you're going to see a release with some supplemental martial arts content, holocron content, if you will, with some of the combinations and things from the game. And I'm going to open that up to Alan as well. He doesn't know this until just now. I'm telling him right now that Alan's going to pick some of his favorites from the game, and he's going to do some quick videos on them, just some quick little demos, real life. Obviously, anything force-assisted, Alan's going to be able to do it because he's a kung fu master, but I'll just have to use my imagination. sorry, Alan. That was low hanging fruit. And So that'll be one of the things we do. Another game that we got coming up is going to be Ghost of Tsushima, which, Alan, I know you don't have it, but I'm really excited to have you on PlayStation, just like commentating your way through watching this for the first time, because you're just going to be, I think, stunned by the game. So I think it would be really fun to almost have you puppeteer me through the game. And we'll see what we can do with that. Maybe have Kenny on for some of that, because I know he loves that game. So maybe have Kay on to talk about some of the sword work and such. But anyway, this is where we're going with that series. So that's already live, 3 episodes in of gameplay. We're going to be having some supplemental martial arts holocron content coming with that. And I'm really excited about it, because I just love those two things so much, gaming and martial arts. So Gamer Martial Arts on our YouTube channel. It is a playlist. You go ahead and type in Gamer Martial Arts, Saber Martial Arts, whatever, and you'll definitely find it. You'll also find this podcast if you'd like to listen on YouTube for whatever reason. We'd appreciate it if you listen more than 30 seconds, because it counts as a view. Appreciate that. Give us a thumbs up if you like it. Give us a subscribe on all the platforms. If you don't like it, even a thumbs down, believe it or not, actually kind of helps us. So, you know, we prefer a thumbs up, but I don't really care. either way, it kind of helps us. So please go ahead and interact for 30 seconds or more, and give us your algorithmic tendencies. Thank you very much. Alan.
There you go.
I think that's good, man. Strategicon.net for anything Saber Mayhem, if we didn't already say that. And let's talk training younglings, because in 48 hours, I got to be in the library parking lot, not killing kids, but letting them pretend that they are killing each other, right? So, where's the first thing to start out with?
First thing is a broad topic. Make sure that you know what the space is.
Oh my gosh, that is the first thing I had to worry about with this library thing. It's so funny that you said, I wasn't even going to say that first, but the very first thing that she was like, is 10 feet enough? I was like, for what?
All right.
Like, if one kid is 4 feet tall, let's say, that kid needs at least 8 feet of space. Just for him or her.
Well, if you think about it this way, what you're really asking by how much space do you have is how many kids can I fit in this space?
That's exactly what I told her. Yep, that's what I said.
What size are these kids?
Exactly.
Are they, you know, 5-year-olds with like a 3-foot wingspan, or are we talking about, you know, 12-year-olds with like a almost... these days, 5-foot wingspan.
Well, and that also, I know we'll get to this in a second, but that also dictates what size of saber or type of saber you might bring. So,
right. Because once you add a weapon to it, then you have to also, you know, see how long that weapon's reach is forward, left, right, and backward, right? So nobody gets brained.
And then there's the kids with ants in their pants. So you have to accommodate for that by at least another foot on each side, right?
Right. So you have that. You have to make sure that there's a clear walkway also on the sides.
That's a good point.
Of the space, so that parents...
One down the middle is always nice.
Yeah, parents can come in, take their pictures, because that's what they're there for. And, you know, same with the library.
Sorry, I should clarify. The one down the middle is not for the parents. The one down the middle is for teachers, potentially. It's not necessary, but it does sometimes help to have one group on one side. Particularly with sabers, you kind of are generally, you're sneakily creating this Jedi versus Sith aura, but it's also helping you keep things straight.
So one of the things that helped me when I was doing this for the libraries, one of the summers out here, was a series of, we went to different libraries which had different spaces, and because we had different spaces, we had to adjust almost on the fly every single time as well. So what we did was we had a couple of rolls of painter's tape, and we created our space. Hold
Yep.
on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, Mark.
I'm good. Just to touch on what Alan's saying, the solution is going to be at the library, not painter's tape, but cones. She's the lady who's setting up is going to use traffic cones, or even just those little plastic, I call them kitty cones, but the ones that you see in gym class. So.
So not just it was just much easier to do much easier to do painter's tape
Yeah.
instead of going to get cones or whatnot, because we could just pull the painter's tape up off the floor.
And I was just saying while you were stepped away, I don't know if you heard or not, but the lady who's setting this up at our library, her solution is going to be to set cones out in the parking lot, provided it's not raining. So yeah, it doesn't matter whatever your solution is,
Right.
but that's
If you're
good to be able to
outdoors,
on the fly set up your own space. And it was something I was thinking about. Should I bring some rope? Should I bring some lighting or something? A lot of our people we know, they will either buy like some light modules or something, or some LED strip lights or something along those lines, fiber optic strips.
The for kids, the less distracting, the better.
100%. Yeah, for adults it's all good,
So,
but I agree 100%.
ball.
Cones and tape, they're used to those two things being everywhere.
I kind of I teach adults too, and sometimes,
Yeah, I shouldn't speak too
but
soon. You're right.
if you were gonna teach a bunch of kids, first you need to know the space. You need to know how, especially if it's indoors or outdoors, right?
Yeah.
And what you guys are actually pulling off in that in that vein. And then especially because you're using lightsabers or something like that, you also have to worry about equipment.
Yeah.
Because those are going to be the most useful resources for you besides what you're teaching.
Right. Yeah,
Because
what you're
if
teaching is
you
very it the actual content doesn't really matter.
It can vary from, absolute gold and, handing them something that lights up. So you have a lot of leeway in what you're teaching.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of leeway in kid types. I like to think, remember the Mighty Bear Clan from Attack of the Clones? They were the ones lost the planet Master Obi-Wan has, right? That was they call that the Mighty Bear Clan of younglings. And I like to think of it as the Mighty Bear Clan to the Bad News Bear Clan, right? And everything in between.
Well, because also you have to understand who you're teaching, right? A 5-year-old, a class of 5-year-olds will learn differently than a class of 8-year-olds, than a class of 12-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you're, I don't know, lucky, unlucky, depends, to teach all of them at the same time, it might be a little bit rough. You might need an assistant or two.
Yeah, I honestly am winging it, because this person setting it up seems to be winging it as well.
And that is going to be about 80% of
Yeah.
anybody you deal with, just so you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. So it's me bringing a bunch of foam sabers and probably making a few from some things I can get at the local home improvement depot, as it were. But honestly, that'll probably be a good video content release for us. So what I might do is go ahead and make a few of those up. No promises to anybody, because time is money, money is time. But I may go ahead and make up some of those because it's really simple. The design I came up with just earlier today is like, as far as I can tell, pretty bulletproof, and so I'll probably make a short video or two about that and post that. But it's like simple, like you gotta keep it simple. And I'm probably just gonna go and be like, listen, we're not hitting each other. I'm not gonna use protective equipment because if I put helmets on kids I don't know, I have to disinfect those helmets. I'm sorry, I'm not just not doing it. Now, should I a part of a larger program require helmets to be worn or something, then that's something that I have to think about and plan for, right? But my thinking about it and planning, no helmets. I'm not going to use gloves, which means I'm not going to let them use the polycarbonate sabers on each other. However, I'm going to bring them and probably teach them like a 5-move kata or set with the polycarbonate sabers. So like, okay, if you learn and you do a little quick duel with your homie with the foam saber, now we'll learn a quick set with the light. And, you know, like you said, I'm going to have to adjust on the fly and probably change this all 180, 360 again, you know, anyway. Sure. But this is my plan. This is my wing it. And I'm not truly winging it because here I've been for the last week trying to even just figure this much out. Sure. But like, yeah, the people you talk to, the people you're setting it up with and all those things, 90% of, you said 80%. I would say 99% of the time, they don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Sure.
Like, oh, that's, you want to teach them lightsaber training? That sounds great. They don't even know what you really mean.
Right.
They have zero clue that you actually mean you're going to bring some things they could potentially hit each other with and let them.
Right.
It's just not something they're used to unless they've done martial arts before, which most people don't.
Right. They hear, oh, what fun, and then kind of don't realize that you're arming children.
In their minds, you're going to bring the toy aisle from Walmart to the children.
Right.
For the babysitting hour.
So a couple of things you can do to make it so that it is safe for the children. There is, the way of letting your wallet do the talking and, buying good foam padded lightsabers.
Yes, which we'll talk about. We'll get to there.
Yeah.
We keep teasing it. We'll get to it.
Or we can do it, you can do like the dollar store version of them, which we'll tell you how to make. They're super easy to make. They don't last, so they're perfect for one-time use.
Yeah, or replaceable parts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a few different ways to do them. I'm going to show you one or two, and Alan probably has like 800 because Alan's done a bit more, a bit more of the varied forms of padded weapons combat, which, dude, that's a whole, we're gonna have an episode about that. I think even when we first started this podcast a few years ago, we talked about doing an episode about like Chanbara and even just like LARPing. What is it? Society for Creative Anachronism. Very interesting stuff, all of it. So, actually, maybe I should contact one of my old karate guys. He was an SCA. This is a small tangent. He was an SCA guy, and his main weapon was Warhammer. How cool. He actually did his black belt kata with his Warhammer. That was just
cool.
Yeah, I thought so.
Mine was Pike, so.
Mine was Jarkai, which I might actually post on the SMAF Instagram just for S's and G's on a Throwback Thursday or something. I'll find it. Because I'm using those old $8 fully retractable lightsabers that Hasbro made in like 2002 or whatever. Because super cool. Why not? Because they fit on my belt. They have hooks and they fully retract. It was so dope. Nobody knew what I was doing. I did this empty-handed intro and then I like reached behind my back and all of a sudden there were lightsabers in my hands. It was so cool. I felt like a real ass Jedi. So anyway, back to kids. It could be that simple, right? Like you go to Walmart or whatever and like right now, sorry Hasbro, your lightsabers suck ass. I probably have to bleed that out. Oh god. 29 minutes. Okay, I probably have to 28 and some change. I have to probably bleed out suck that. But anyway, the lightsabers used to be awesome. The $8 sabers. So even just like some of those $8, $10, $15 toy sabers, just to put something in a kid's hand if they never hit each other with it, like again, teach them a little set.
Right. So that's where I was going to go
Yeah.
with what I was saying is like also understand what you're actually going to teach and understand that these are kids and they want to hit each other. So
Short,
if you give
sweet.
them a polycarbonate saber, then chances are somebody's going home with a bump on their head
Yeah.
or their hand or whatever. So
At that point,
there's a
you're just
couple
trying
of
to
things.
minimize the occurrence to one or none.
Right. So some people have put pool noodles over the polycarbonate. I don't know how well that works because there's still a polycarbonate blade in there, and because there's a pool noodle on it, they'll try to swing it like a pool noodle.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
We had a
Some
homie a
people.
few years ago who tried that with us, right? He sent us a bunch of prototypes and his
Yeah.
heart was in the right place, but the blades had no heart.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like you have to. Especially when you're dealing with kids, you have to establish your authority very quickly,
Yeah.
and you might have to make an example of a student. Just be like, okay, well, I said this once, I won't say it again. All right, that was your first two warnings. The next time I see it happen, you get to sit out. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah,
You
and
know, that's for the safety of everyone.
I keep interrupting you, but it's a kind of a chat, right? And
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that, but I've been drinking a Monster, so I'm a little chatty. I wanted to say that sometimes I try, often I try to remember to lead with that. Like, listen, this is going to be fun. However, this is very serious. You could very well get hurt. You will only get warned one time, and then I have to take the weapon from you, and it's now back to being my weapon. Right? Like,
Right.
that's it.
And
And
even
I
if.
don't, you're not a bad person, but you have to give it back. So
Now you call
usually,
them a bad person, tell them that they can't listen, have them deal
yeah.
with that trauma the rest of
Well,
their life, and then
there's.
come back and challenge you in 20 years.
That's the other thing, man. Like, some people don't really know, like, you know this, but th there are people that teach kids that don't know that they shouldn't or don't know how to teach kids yet, I will say. Because I feel like a lot of times it's a yet. But you can't, like, just be like, hey, you little poop head, I just told you not to do that. Like, brr. Like, after years of them being in your martial arts class, sure, you can get away with a little cheekiness, but no, you can't just like, but if you set it up, right, and you set an expectation, we talk about that in all disciplines, setting an expectation,
Yes.
but you have to stick to that expectation.
Yes.
So,
You have to be true to your word.
yes.
I mean, hopefully you are in all things and that's your integrity, but
Yeah.
especially in
Yep. Yep.
teaching, you under promise and over deliver. So whenever you start the class, doesn't matter what the equipment is, right? Especially with weapons, you have to say, okay, guys, we are actually going to be swinging a weapon around, and a weapon can hurt somebody, and chances are you'll hurt yourself. So here are the rules, and we're going to stick to these rules. And if one of us breaks the rules, you do have to sit out, unfortunately. You can still watch, but everybody else can move on because the person that's dangerous with the weapon is out of the room. So it's a very important thing. Now, again, all these things can range from actual, combat grade lightsabers with the metal hilts and the spikes and all that stuff, or you can give yourself some a little bit of sanity and get a PVC pipe and wrap it in foam and then put a pool noodle around that foam and then wrap it with a good grip, and now you have something that'll actually feel like something but not actually hopefully hurt, especially if you forgot to put a tip on the end of your sabers, because if you put a pool noodle over something, remember there's still a tip in that something, whether it's a wooden dowel or a PVC pipe. You do have to cap it somehow, hopefully with more foam, but
I was going to say, a lot of times you can get away with leaving a f we'll say a couple to a few inches of just empty foam at the end of your PVC tube.
So if you want to be really safe, make a fist in about that much foam.
Yeah. Yes.
That
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
That yeah. is about how much foam you'll yeah. have, because especially if you're teaching like a let's say a combat pairing, that if you add a thrust in there at all, it'll be enough for yes. somebody to feel that they got hit, but without actually getting, you know, impaled.
That brings up an interesting point. I like that. And it's a short point, which is I recommend you put a thrust in when you're working with kids. And hear me out just for a second, because I know that thrusting is controversial in some circles. In SMAF, not controversial even in the least. It is a technique mm-hmm. that is part of martial arts, that is part of saber martial arts, that we do and is legal 100% of the time, as long as you don't stab somebody in the nuts. Mm-hmm. But... or unprotected eyes or something, right? But and control at all times. But with kids, mm-hmm. they get stabbing. They get it. And you mm-hmm. don't have to call it stabbing. You call it a thrust or a poke. I really like the word poke, because mm-hmm. they get that. Like, they get poked in the belly by their parents, right? Like, tickled. Mm-hmm. And they get, like, pushed, or they're tussling in the playground and they shove each other around. They push the belly. They grab around the belly and shove, mm-hmm. you know, and they just play. The belly is a play area. So by poking them in the belly, it's just a motion, a feeling, a concept they understand of, like, give and take there, right? Like, mm-hmm. if I poke towards your belly, what are you going to do? They know how to swing that saber through to block mm-hmm. it. To that, I don't know. I just feel like I recommend you add a stab, and you call it something like a poke or a thrust if you're not comfortable calling it a stab. That way, it's just, I don't know. I just feel like it's a thing they're familiar with. They're familiar with the big baseball style swings, right? They're familiar with the kamikaze overhead chop. It's probably a bad way to say it, but, and they're familiar with pokes to the belly, because that's the way they play. So
right.
I recommend it. Anyway, that was a small tangent, but that would necessitate at least a fist's length of empty mm-hmm. foam at the tip of the inner core.
Right. So part of that, what you're right on the same wavelength I am. The techniques that you teach hopefully are, you know, staying in theme. So for example, if I'm teaching a lightsaber class, then I'm gonna teach them hopefully using terminology and also ways to that they've already seen someone do before.
Some role play aspects in a sense.
Yeah. And you know, most of these special events, you know, you do want to dress up and so that you look like a Jedi or a Sith or whatever.
Or even just a martial artist. Yeah. Like, I'll probably, yeah. because I'll be promoting my actual martial arts class at the same time, mm-hmm. I'll probably be wearing like a martial arts shirt,
right.
some gi pants.
But a uniform.
But like a Star Wars shirt, a Star Wars hat, yeah. or like maybe a robe or something, right?
Yeah. So the part of that is again, the role-playing aspect of it is basically saying, oh, that's the person that's going to yes, teach us. That correct. Gives right. that automatically draws attention to you.
Yes.
And then from there, you say, okay, this is the way we do it here. And then let's, for example, say you're going to do a diagonal cut downwards from the right to left. I tell them, okay, that's number one. Right, so now we all can agree that's number one. Okay, number two is the same thing on the other side. So now we're making a big X in the air. One, yep. two. And the now everybody X. has the same
yep.
word for the same movement. And, you know, you can call it whatever you want.
Well, but, yeah, but that's another concept that kids just get. The letter X mm-hmm. is like a thing kids understand.
Right. And then, you know, like you said, baseball swing.
Mm-hmm.
Golf swing,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, whatever kind of thing.
Now we're going to draw the X upwards, right?
Yeah.
So now who plays golf? Who's seen hockey, yeah. right? It's just whatever yeah. helps.
Any sort of verbiage that you can use,
This is
depending
your
on where you
tennis
are,
swing, right?
right? So you can see, the kids that get it and the kids that need help, right? Because the kids, they're like, oh, like golf, got it.
Well,
Okay, but
and
then they'll struggle on the other way.
don't spend too long if they're not getting it, caring. Like, just move
Right.
on. Because eventually they're going to get to the point where they bow and spar for, 20 seconds, or they spar the master or whatever, and
Sure.
it's
So
not going to matter what they're going to throw it all out the
the
window
key to
anyway.
that you're kind of skimming over, but I know you personally don't do this, but the key is repetition,
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
If I teach, the first thing I teach is number one, the second thing I teach is number two. By the time I get to three and four, there's some people that are still struggling with one and two.
Sure,
By the
absolutely.
time I get to five and six, there's still people going, what was three and four again?
Especially at a
Well, I
one-off event
got
versus like in a normal weekly class or something like that.
right. So whatever your technique is that you're teaching, right? You have to disguise repetition,
Oh,
and
yeah,
that
we.
means that you constantly go back to doing the first couple things that you did, and then adding certain things,
This is
right?
right out
So,
of Teaching 101, right? Teaching 102,
right.
right?
Right. And then you disguise your repetition by adding other more advanced techniques like stepping forward or stepping back or, blah blah blah, and then showing them that, oh yeah, this is the same movement, but if I step behind myself and I jump in the air and I spin like this, it's still a number one. So
Right, exactly.
there's all of these things that they can go ooh and ah at, but then they're still trying to stand still and go from right to left or left to right, and then you go, okay guys, now we're going to learn how to do the same thing but on the other side. We're going to learn how to block one and two, right?
It's
So you
not so
spend
much.
10 minutes on one and two.
Yeah, and you have to know how much time you have because you might really have, like, my event's an hour. I'm just using my own, inserting myself just for reference, right? But it could be anybody's anytime. For
Sure.
any class, weekly class or a one-off event, you have to know how much time you're actually able to work with, and it's not what you have. Like, if I have an hour, it's not an hour of actual saber training. Not even a little. I mean, we're talking maybe 40 minutes of it is going to be saber training if all goes great, because there's going to be several minutes here, there, and everywhere where I'm going to be herding cats probably, or walking
Well,
around with my head in my hands like, am I supposed to do something right now? Like, it depending on the organization and how it's gonna go. So if you know how much time you have, like I like 5 to 8 moves. I only have 10 moves in my entire like curriculum. There's a whole bunch more than that, but 10 possible locations to strike, right? So but even that's like almost too many. So I even water that down a little bit. And I shouldn't say water down because I said earlier I wouldn't treat it that way, but trim it down, specify it a little bit, shave off some of the fat so that it's more streamlined, so that in 5 minutes they can learn 5 moves, and then I can spend another 5 to 10 minutes maybe making them feel like they can do it right. And then we put it into practice, and now we're at a half hour. And then the last 10 minutes, you let them hold the light up stuff, swing it in the air, teach them, okay, now you're going to do the same 5 moves, but you're going to pretend that you're fighting Darth Maul, and I want you to, perform for us those, right? So, whatever, because they don't care. That's all they wanted to do. And you made them wait a half hour to do it, and now you're going to let them do it.
The magic number usually for that is four. Because,
Go ahead and indulge the listeners on
oh,
what you're talking about.
mainly because, what, so I'm going by the rule of, the 5-year-old. Like, if you can teach somebody four techniques, usually it's, left to right, up and
Right.
down.
And now I get what you're saying.
And yeah, they feel competent
Yes.
enough And then if you give at them the end of the hour
maybe
to actually do something.
Maybe four, maybe five strikes, right? If you add a poke, call it a fifth strike, right? An X and a poke, call it four and a half, right?
Sure.
You do that.
Well, yeah, whatever they are.
then you go ahead and add the blocks, but that's still only four or five, right? And it makes sense because they were already figuring that there was going to be some blocking involved. Like they know, they know how it works. Kids know how Star Wars works. And because they know how Star Wars works, they know how martial arts works. Like you don't have to often, sometimes you do. Some kids just like to get hit in the face, believe it or not. But like you don't often have to tell kids to block. A lot of times I get the question, can we still block? Like, I don't know why I have to like remind you, right? You don't usually. They're going to protect themselves. They don't like to get hit. So I feel like you're right. You teach them like four. That fifth one might be a little cherry on top, right? Or you teach them a spin move. You do your X moves and you teach them a cool spin move.
The fifth move is always like the disengage. Usually the disengage.
Yeah, or a cool bow. I always find that teaching them a wicked cool bow makes them just feel amazing.
Right. If you teach them, I mean, it's a whole nother thing to teach somebody how to do a Molinaise or, you know, a Dragon Tail or an Obi Annie or however you want to call it.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah, the flowers.
Yeah. Bin. Yeah. So you can teach them that as kind of like like the cherry on top. Okay. Whatever your strike block combination is, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then do your spin. Awesome. Next two. So part of it too.
Exactly.
Part of it too is like trying to get kids to come out of their shell. Because you will have kids that are all about it, but then you'll have kids that are like, oh, this is a little intense for me.
Yeah.
You know, and then but once they do it, they're like, oh, I did it, awesome. So you're kind of dealing with all sorts of different personality types as well, and you should be aware that okay, well. If I am teaching them how to do this stuff, let's teach them how to do it away from hitting each other's hands, heads, eyes, you know, try to do that. So instead of showing them how to decapitate somebody or brain them on top of their head, maybe we adjust that technique to the shoulder or the arm, you know?
Yeah. Or this is all age groups too. I would even argue it's more important the older they get because they do start to get like a little rowdy maybe is a good word. They do like hit each other in the head and then they're like, oh crap, like I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit you that hard. Like, dude, I told you were gonna knock
you're
each other
sorry
senseless.
That you messed up.
Yeah exactly. If it had gone well for both of you, it would have been this awesome story you told each other, but now you look like a couple of doofuses. But that's another thing you can do with that older group is you can be a little more real with them about it. Like, hey, didn't I tell you that was going to happen? Right? Like, you know, you're old enough, you know. So that's a thing, but you do want to keep it still as safe as possible and treat those older ones just like the younger ones in the sense that they're going to hurt each other if given the opportunity, whether they mean to or not. Usually they don't mean to. They're just having fun. And that's what they're supposed to do. You got to control the fun though. You got temper. I like the word temper. Everything with kids ages, we'll say 20 and under, believe it or not, is about tempering things. And with adults it's the same too, but it's a whole different mood. So we're not going to, it's a mood. with the kids, I would say the younger they are, the weapons training is actually kind of safer because they can't really hurt each other very badly unless they hit each other in the face or something like that.
Again, that's equipment based.
Yes. And if you're using no equipment, what we're going to talk very shortly here about sabers, and we'll start with the creme de la creme, which is action flex. But I feel like with the younger ones, they kind of, I don't want to say they listen better, but when you give them the directions with the weapons and you make it very apparent that if they don't follow them, you're going to take the weapon. They just don't want you to take that weapon away, so they're going to follow the directions.
Right.
There will be one who doesn't and gets their weapon taken away, and then everybody else will see it and go, oh, coach said I should.
I don't want to be that kid.
Yeah, I don't want to be that kid. So I want to keep this nunchucks or this lightsaber or this, wooden stick or whatever the case is. So I find the younger they are, usually they listen with that. The older they are, they sometimes seem like they don't care. And sometimes they don't. And sometimes they're just doing it to show you they don't care. Like that's this thing that older kids do sometimes where they just have no interest and they don't. And adults, you do it sometimes too, right? That's those young, teens or those young adults, as it were, coming into adulthood in a sense, trying to figure out their personality and how they fit into this, where they kind of want to feel like a kid, but also kind of want to do martial arts like an adult. So like this is a thing that they can do, but and feel all those feels, but I feel like the not caring that kind of turns off people from doing these events again. Like if all you get is a bunch of kids that kind of goof off and act like they don't care, like it can be discouraging. And I don't want it to be discouraging for people. You do have to know when to, lay your cards down and fold, but
Well,
I don't know.
that's a whole nother topic, and
Yeah, I agree. I'm probably getting
I'll hit that
off.
really quickly.
Yeah.
At the beginning of every class, of martial arts, whatever martial art it is, there's usually a bow, and that bow usually sets the tone for the whole class,
Yeah, I agree
and
with
you can
that.
tell immediately who's into it and who's not. And especially if you're doing a one-off event, you as the teacher have to set that tone,
Yeah.
because you don't know if there's a flag to bow to, or a shrine or whatever it is. But the bow could be like, hey, this is what we're doing. If you're not into it and you are forced to be here, I don't want to teach you, because you'll be more dangerous to yourself and everybody else
Yeah.
around you than anybody else. So let me alleviate that burden from you and have you sit out. You can sit and watch, or you can leave. But this is not, the space for you if you're feeling like that today.
And you sound
And
just like me in martial arts class. Keep going.
it's one of those things that, especially after teaching for so long, I don't want to waste my time teaching somebody that doesn't appreciate what they're being taught. You can say, but he's a 5-year-old. Of course he doesn't know what he wants. Yeah, but
I
you're
was just
forcing him
gonna
to
say
be here.
that, and I knew you would. I was gonna say it to be devil's advocate, but go ahead. I know you have an answer for that.
Yeah, but that's when you look at the parent and go, like, he doesn't want to be here, so why are you forcing him? It's not this is what I'm teaching is a luxury.
Yeah,
This is not something that
it's
this
not state
one hour and
mandated or.
yeah this is this 1 hour in the library swinging a lightsaber, completely voluntary.
Yes. Yep.
Right? This will not make your kid a black belt. So
Yeah.
if
Well,
somebody
and
has a
even week
problem with
to
you
week.
sitting down their kid, then you have to be like, ma'am, it's a Sunday for an hour at a library, one time only. If your kid's not into it in the first 5 minutes, I'm sorry, he won't be into it for the next 55.
Now let's just quickly turn that on its tail side just for a second and say it's a week to week or a month to month or a semi-regular student.
Okay, in that case, then you've already had a conversation with them.
Yes.
You've
Okay,
already
good.
set
This is
the
where I was going with that.
expectation. You've already set the expectations already multiple times,
That's the second time we talked about that tonight.
and you can tell, by their behavior in class that they don't want to be here. And you know what? Again, this is a luxury.
Yes.
You didn't,
That part still hasn't changed.
yeah, you still want to learn this. Great. Does the kid want to learn this? Because if so, we might have to make different arrangements, because he's making it harder to teach everyone in the class.
Well,
And
I want to mention that because I recently had it, this comes down to parents a little bit too.
yeah, absolutely. And I'm talking to the parents. I'm not
Yeah,
talking to the kid at that
yes.
point.
Yeah, and I know that as a parent and as a teacher that you're doing that, but it comes down to the attitude the parents project on or from or with the kid too, because I recently had two students around 14 and 15. And sort of out of nowhere, after their parents assured me that they just loved bringing them to my program and such, just kind of seemingly out of nowhere, stopped coming to my class and started coming to a different class that I have no problem with them going to, but I don't understand why they're not all right. And it had something to do with another student in the class.
Right.
And how that other student was maybe not up to whatever these wise 15-year-olds thought was snuff.
Sure.
Right? So, like, there were a couple weeks where I was, like, sort of butthurt and, like, man, what a terrible, like, teacher I must be. And, like, how did I, why did these parents pull wool over? Well, that's the thing. Like, those parents were already projecting some sort of, whether it was they didn't like the time that my class was, or this other student they didn't think was a good training partner for their kid. Newsflash, every student in the dojo is a good training partner until they hurt somebody. But if they haven't hurt somebody, there's no reason, just because their abilities might not be comparable to whatever you perceive your child's abilities to be, that does not mean that they're not a good training partner or that your kid shouldn't work with them because they're not going to help them progress. That is complete and total bull, you know what? And that is the type of attitude that a lot of parents do exhibit, and their kids just, that's all they know. So if at the dinner table, you know, you're talking about how Johnny in class, man, he just doesn't give you the sparring rounds you deserve. I'm sorry. Well, then that's what your kid's going to think. And then they're going to think that about your coach or your teacher, who is not that way, right? Like, everybody should be there getting something different. It's different for everybody. And, so this is a long soapbox. I didn't intend for it to be, but I recently felt it in a very deep way, and I'm still getting over it, in the sense of, like, what you're saying. Like, what I teach, my time, my effort, my knowledge, my 32 effing years of martial arts is a luxury that I'm giving to you. Yeah. And if you don't want it, okay.
Right.
That's it.
It's okay. Yeah, so part of that is also knowing your students and having conversations with them and actually figuring out if this is something they want.
Yes.
Or what they want out of the training.
I agree.
Because everybody will have their own reason, will have their own words for that reason. Some of them just want to look cool. Some of them always wanted to do it, you know, and now this is their chance. And some of them are being bullied, and some of them are, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so there are plenty of times, especially as a martial arts teacher, where you just have to sit down with a student, or maybe, you know, talk to them, you know, on the mat, and be like, okay, what is this about? And then when you talk to their parents, or, you know, their significant other or whatever it is, you're just like, okay, so this is my understanding. Is that correct? You know, or am I missing something? Because what I heard on the mat was this, and blah, blah, blah. If that's correct, great. That helps me. That helps me with my approach of teaching you.
Sometimes, you know, that helps it's me. Uncomfortable, but it is a requirement as any teacher, but definitely as a martial arts teacher sometimes, to put yourself in those uncomfortable conversations with.
And that's a thing, right? It's like, if you are really doing any martial art for a significant amount of time, it's getting to that point where you have to be like, listen, X, Y, Z, this is what's happening. What are you doing with this? Or are you just, you know, filling time on a Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it might be. So if you really care about the student, which every martial arts teacher should care about their students, then these are conversations that you'll have.
Yeah.
And usually you'll do it organically, because the best teachers Right, I've said it before. They don't care how much you know. You want to know how much they care. So if that's what it takes, that's I mean the true definition of sifu or sensei or whatever a swami guru whatever it is actually taking someone under their wing, to be able to protect them. Like even the word client means someone I protect,
I didn't
so
realize
it
that.
yeah so it's very much that sort of
Man, now that you say that,
relationship.
it explains a lot about the business practices of certain cultures and countries and things. And I mean that as a compliment. And when I say business, that usually comes down to a personal relationship as well in some of those cultures. So anyway,
Well, even before, there would be times when, let's say you were a gardener, right? And you wanted to learn kung fu, and you went to the teacher, the local temple or the martial arts instructor, said, "Hey, I would like, I would like to learn kung fu." They would tell you no. They because they wouldn't know who you are. They don't know if you're, true to your word or whatever. So they would say, "Okay, do X, Y, and Z for a year and then come back." So like for what we talked about chopping wood and carrying water, that was part of things. Okay, hey, you know what? You're a gardener. Go ahead and, tend my garden for a year. Let's see if you have if you really want to learn kung fu. You add that to your plate, and then through while doing that, the teacher would watch and kind of see, how you garden in this example, and see whether or not you're somebody that would put in the time to do just before they taught you anything, right? To put in the time, effort, energy, and dedication, right? Determination to actually, accomplish something for another reason. And because martial arts is a luxury that, first world problems, right? You're not really having to fend off tigers, or anything like that. Like in, you're not living in the jungle or, having to hopefully dodge, the buffalo stampede. So because martial arts in our country is a luxury, right? You should have no qualms about telling somebody, "Hey, I don't think this is for you. I don't think this is the right fit." Because this is a luxury. You're paying for my time, my expertise, everything like that. And my expertise is telling me your kid's not into it. Or you know what? Your kid's being very disruptive, so there might be something else wrong. He has good days or bad days or whatever it is. And again, when you're teaching a group of kids for just an hour for like a one-time event, that all has to be sped up super quick. And that happens in the very first 5 minutes of you showing up and saying, "All right, stand at attention," and clapping your hands and being able to command the room with respect. So yeah, so the space, the equipment, and your curriculum really doesn't matter too much. It's
Presentation is a lot more important.
exactly, your presentation has to be there. And
Sim simple
having them
curriculum,
doing
I would
something.
say it is important in the sense that it be simple and understandable to, if it's understandable to kids, it'll be understandable to teens and adults as well, right?
Right.
But
And you will every once in a while have those disruptors, but those are the people that you
yes.
show the door.
And
And
really
that's
quickly, I
okay.
wanted to touch on what you were talking about with, the very last point you were making, because it was very heavy, right? And that's good. We need to have that too. But we'll lighten it up for the end of the show here. But one thing I wanted to touch on is the younger they get, again, like this aspect of dedication, again, it's all relative. You don't want them disrupting class. That's really the end of it, right? Because it's not helping them. And if you're if you're the type of person who has trouble with honesty, and I hesitate to use the word confrontation, but I like what you said, spontaneous conversation, mm-hmm. which sometimes feels like confrontation from one end or the other. But you can't project it that way, and if students take it that way, like, obviously look at your presentation, but if you know you're not presenting it as a confrontation and they happen to take it that way, that's another sign that maybe this is not the fit for them, right? But honesty is so important as a martial arts teacher. You don't have to be like, oh, this is my bank account. No, not that kind of honesty, not that level of honesty. Honesty in the sense like, I noticed you stopped coming to my class on Tuesdays, but I noticed that now you're coming on Mondays by itself. Why aren't you coming to both? Right? Why aren't you coming to my class anymore? And the student's going to give you either a very honest answer, a partially honest answer, or a complete, like, I didn't think this person was actually going to sort of confront me on this and ask me my opinion, so I'm just going to make some BS up about my mom said, right?
Right.
So it might not be BS. Their mom might have really said, and then you have to have another conversation where... But if you're the type of person that has trouble with that, that's part of the gig. You're going to have to figure it out. Talk to people who are good at it, right? Take some YouTube classes on conversing with people.
I like to think of it this way. Martial arts is personal development.
Yeah, interpersonal development in many ways.
And you can't do that without getting personal.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It's very
It doesn't have to
hard.
Be mean. The honest doesn't have to be mean or doesn't have to make people feel bad. But like you want to know, why did you stop showing up, or why are you slacking on your velocity? Let's just say your velocities, your kata, whatever. Like why?
Right.
The younger they are, again, it's relative. A lot of times it's probably the parents who are sort of giving them some feedback or feeding into it in a way. But, you still want to make sure that the class, the student's progress, the student's apostrophe is not being disrupted. After that, the older they get, then it becomes a lot more of a question of personal dedication and what they're actually willing to put into it / get out of it.
Right. Well, part of that too. So that everybody, you know, that's made it this far in the podcast can.
And thank you for
really
that.
Understand is when somebody, especially a teacher, asks you that, it's not because they're just going to, you know, forget about it. This is part of their personal development as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, you know, my gosh, yes. That's probably a whole other episode on its own too, right? Like all of this from the teachers, strictly the teachers, like... Anyway, keep going. Yeah.
Yeah, so from one, you know, from a certain point of view, most times each one of these, if your teacher cares, right? Again, you know, they don't care how much you know, they want to know how much you care.
Yep.
They will ask something very specific, and that's, is everything okay? Right?
Yep.
Because they noticed something
is not okay.
Different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something different. Whether it's you're hitting the bag a little bit harder, or you're not hitting the bag at all, or, you know, whatever it might be, then usually the question that your teacher will ask you, like, hey, is everything okay? Right? You need a second. You need to balance yourself out, however that conversation goes. But it's usually around that point, your teacher will know something is off because you've been showing up and doing that. Now, if I just met you, and, you know, we only have an hour together and there's 19 other students in the room, I don't have time to deal with that, right? So I will just sit you down and then talk to you afterward, be like, hey, I noticed you weren't, you know, you weren't paying attention or swinging the saber the way we talked about. Are you okay? Is everything okay? Do you need to join the next class to get what you want out of this, or are you done? So a lot of the things we talked about, right? We talked about space. We talked about, you know, curriculum. We talked about equipment. We talked about dealing with honorary students. Is there anything else that's tickling the back of your brain there?
No, I mean, I do want to give a rundown of different saber types that you can use, but that's kind of just to put a bow on the show. Why do you have something in mind?
No, that's why I was asking.
Yeah. So let's put a bow on it with we'll talk about and I want to do a really deep dive into some of these things later, like I mentioned, how to build one or the actual what makes an action flex saber tick, what makes it hum and buzz and so awesome. But that's another episode or two on their own. But what I do want to do is just kind of run down the list a little. So like for me, when we're talking strictly about teaching kids, again, like 18, 20 and under, particularly 12 and under, action flex is pretty much the Ferrari of
They make a
safety.
sci-fi saber.
Yes, it's called the
So,
Action Flex Sci-Fi Saber. Right now, you can get it from CenturyMartialArts.com. They're not a sponsor. This is not a paid promotion, but we like to tell you what we like to use, and we love to use them. They're absolutely the best you can get as far as foam weapons for lightsaber training. Now,
and they last.
forever. I've got the same Action Flex stuff that we bought at the dojo like well over 10 years ago. And Alan, we'll talk about this in the episode where we really deep dive on these, and that'll probably be a video podcast, Alan. So I'll gear you up for
Sure.
that. But Alan has a lot of insight into how they're actually made, and he'll talk about that in that episode, why and how he has that insight, as well as my own insight, having just used them for so many years and having spoken to the people at Century who manufacture them in mass. So that to me is the creme de la creme of what you can get for both safety and authenticity, because they actually freaking look like lightsabers. The kids think they're super cool. They come in multiple colors, and they also come in different shapes like nunchucks, regular swords, eskrima sticks, staff. So you can get them in many different forms. Now, other companies make foam weapons that I would say are suitable for kids training, but maybe not for kids sparring or heavy sparring. Some of these like plastic core, they almost look like Halloween costumes with the foam outsides. Like Halloween accessories. They're not bad for like training forms or little light contact drills and things, but I would not let kids really hard spar with some of those more
Right.
traditional foam training weapons.
There are other foam weapons out there, but yeah, again, the other part of it is that they're foam,
Yeah.
so everybody's gonna probably have the same color,
Well, and the
or
core
you
of
can.
those is not like the core of an action flex, which has some engineering involved, right? It's usually a not very or a very brittle plastic core, just there for shape. So I would say
So,
under an action flex for lightsaber, or no, sorry, what were you going to say, Alan?
oh, I was gonna say, if you at a very short time, about a decade ago, Nerf actually came out with swords and
Yeah, that's
axes
true.
and stuff
They
like
did. They
that.
were actually pretty decent too.
And they were really decent.
Yeah.
But even then, I still have mine, and they are still pretty good. But I have broken a couple of them.
Yeah.
So,
But for some of the more eclectic weapons, knives and little daggers and things, it's actually kind of a neat way to do it.
So if you have those in bulk, I guess you could do that with a group of or a group of kids.
It definitely It sometimes it's just about getting something in their hands, even if it's not exactly a lightsaber, right? So, or exactly a sword or whatever it is. So that's a good way to get around some of that. I was
And
going
then
to say,
you also have like the PVC plus tape and pool noodle.
so wait, hold on. That's like maybe one or two tiers below. I wanted to say the next thing would be to either look up or purchase some decent LARP style weaponry. When I say look up, like you can find tutorials on how to make this LARP weaponry. Sometimes they have rattan cores and things like that. I don't know that I would use that for kids.
Shout out to Commander, and I forget his name, but the guy in Ukraine that makes this stuff, Soft Warrior.
Oh,
There's
Soft Warrior
also,
Sparta, yeah.
they also have specifically padded weaponry.
And there's another, they're like really expensive, but they're really cool if you're looking for cosplay type accessories that are functional and actually battle ready, which is called Kalimasil. They're out of like Denmark or somewhere sort. I probably be wrong. It's probably Sweden or something like that. But Kalimasil starts with a C, and they were making like a lightsaber sort of. It was light up, and it had a foam blade with like I don't know. But they are very expensive to get in the States here, because you have to pay that international shipping, and they're already like works of art, so they're not cheap. But they're highly customizable, and so if you're into like swords and other weaponry and even like functional foam bows and arrows and stuff like that, armor. I know Kalimasil makes really good stuff if you're willing to pay for it. But like, I would say DIY LARP stuff is right under Action Flex for definitely for durability, safety. It's debatable. Some of it more safe than others. And then I would say right under that probably would be what you were going to say, which is either the Nerf weaponry type stuff or go ahead and make stuff with PVC and pool noodles or PVC and like electrical or plumbing insulation foam, stuff like that.
Right, and I've seen people just use cut pool noodles as well. So,
Yeah, you should have some sort of rigidity when you're giving it to a kid because they're going to bend and break them. So I think, I've done it with wooden dowel rods, but I was telling you the other night, I was like, I feel like it's not safe. So I'm going with the PVC. It's
Yeah.
just you have to weigh out sort of some of the pros and cons. Splinters is another thing. Like you wouldn't think on a sanded, smooth dowel rod that a kid would get a splinter, but it's going to happen.
They'll find a
They
way.
will find a way. They'll drop it. It'll create a little nick in the wood. That nick will turn into a splinter, right? So. Even the PVC, like when you cut it or when it got cut at the store, is it like a sharp or rough cut? Because you might want to stick some sandpaper on it
Right.
or a
Well,
cap.
what we can do probably, Fode, is you can do a video of your saber martial arts and crafts and show how you made
Oh, patent
your
pending.
stuff.
No, nobody take that patent pending.
So, yeah. So,
Oh, I like that.
and
We're gonna have to do that.
that would basically be like, this is what we have. We made 20
Yeah.
of them. It took like 2 hours or whatever.
And you can get the
And
kids involved in this too. Like, if it's as simple as putting a few pieces of PVC and foam together, like, please get your kids do not maybe not your students, but maybe you could create like your own little version of the gathering from Clone Wars, right? Where like the kids come in and the first thing they do is they learn about the safety and the rules, but then the second thing they do is they get to build their own, right? And it's just a matter of them putting a cap on the end of the PVC, sliding it into the pool noodle, and now they feel so cool.
So part of that too is like you can do that very cheaply with different wraps, like different types of sports tape, and then different stickers, things of that nature, and different things that can hang off of their saber. The library and the museums out here do it all the time. They have like excess keychains and stuff like that that they add. So like, if you really wanted to get into it, you can actually raid the Home Depot and see what their PVC paraphernalia is, and actually they can put it together.
And if
And
you're
then
feeling crafty, which I might do this too, like we could, you sit there, you have little elbows and couplers and things like you create double bladed sabers. You can create curved hilts and bent hilts and, you know, you create your own version of commas or something stupid stuff. Tanfa saber. It's all viable if you kind of come at it like a child and you think of it that way. Alan, let's do a couple versions of at least sabers, because we didn't talk at all about gloves and helmets and things. I think we did a gear part one episode. We'll do a gear part two. Maybe it'll be the kids stuff. But let's talk about some options we don't recommend. We already said like just letting them whack each other with the full polycarbonate blades, maybe not the best option. Another option I would not recommend, at least for contact drills, would be any of the hardwood or rattan weaponry. You could have it as as examples or as like for practicing forms and kata, but I wouldn't I wouldn't let them swing it at each other. Empty pool noodles get noodly. You can use them. They're not bad, especially the super young kids. It almost doesn't matter at all, like 3-4 year olds. But I don't know what else. What else would you maybe not recommend? Metal.
1-inch pipe insulation foam. They sell it next to the PVC.
Yeah.
If you're actually using that foam, it'll still hurt when they hit each other.
Very thin walled. It's like the gray or black stuff usually, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it has a usually has like a little piece that you pull off and it adheres to itself.
Yeah, it adheres
to itself. It does fall apart.
Yes. The pool noodle is about the same price, maybe cheaper. And usually
you don't feel bad about cutting it
at all. And usually it comes in the three primary saber colors. And usually you can find maybe like a yellow or an orange or something like that cool that the kids like to throw on there.
Something that I just thought of. Make sure you have more than necessary.
And I like at least two different lengths too. Like I was thinking of doing like a 24 to 28 inch for the, like the really little ones. And then maybe like a 30 inch to 36 inch overall for some of the bigger ones.
But the reason being is somebody's always going to break one. So you want to have
Yeah, for sure.
So if you have 15 people showing up, make sure you have 20.
Well, and let's say like for Thursday, I don't really know how many kids are going to show up. Because it's kind of an open house thing. It's actually a cosplay event, and that I'm cosplay. That's a very generous term.
But you still are limited by the amount of space you have.
So. Right. But what I was thinking of doing is, you know, having X number of sabers, and that's how many kids. An even number, by the way, is important.
Sure.
And that's how many kids I can take at a time, and probably boiling my lesson down to like a 5 to 10 minute and then cycling it, doing it with a couple different groups of kids. Okay, I'm full right now, but if you come back in 5 or if you come back in 10 minutes, I'm going to start a whole new class and you're part of it.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's another thing you can do. You all have limitations, space, materials, time, etc. Knowledge sometimes. Right. So work with those limitations. Don't let them limit you. You know, sometimes you just got to tell a kid, listen, do you have 5 minutes to wait? And sometimes the answer is no, I'm leaving my parents. Well, I'm sorry, but maybe next time you can be the first one in class. Right. So, and then the other thing I would say is, that the teacher should as often as possible have their saber lit.
Right.
Maybe not when just talking, but also if you're just talking, sometimes lighting that saber up puts the eyes back on you. So
that reminds me, if you're
teaching, and a bright color, by the way, maybe not like the red saber, maybe like the bright blue or green saber. Sorry, keep going.
Oh, no, I was going to say, if you're teaching, know how to mute your saber.
I didn't even think about sound because 99% of the sabers I buy don't have. But yeah, because it is kind of nice to have a humming saber for an event.
Right.
But that hum is going to be a problem.
Yeah, especially when you're teaching, because every single movement you'll make will make a little
Even when you
sound.
breathe wrong, it's going to clash.
Yeah. So, and that's going to take away from what you're saying and make sure the kids will definitely look at you, but they won't be hearing what you're saying at all. They're just
Oof.
going to be like flashing light, neat, you
Oh,
know.
now they're going to
So,
start thinking about violence even more, right? They start hearing that
right.
clash sound, they're just going to want the violence.
Right. I would say if you have some sort of choreography or anything like that, you can do that. You know, you can put that on, but don't do it until the end. Don't do any of the saber sound until the end.
Yes, or I've seen, I don't know that I actually like this. I've seen some people lead with the demonstration. I don't know that I actually like that. I kind of think
So
that they need to earn the demonstration.
unless you're teaching them what they're doing in the demonstration, it's usually not a good idea.
Right. Yes. Okay, here's this. That's what we're going to learn. That's different. But yeah, if you're just doing a demo just to demo and then you expect them to pay attention and teach them, you're barking up the wrong tree. You have to, in my opinion, and it sounds like yours as well, you have to make them work a little for the reward, which would be
Yeah,
the demonstration.
give them the shiny stuff at the end. And it's mainly a teaser, right?
Yep.
It's your after credit scene, I guess. It's like, this is what you can do if you come back.
And my favorite thing is not even a demonstration of like what I can do or what like my best student, right? It's for me, it's like, okay, now you know how I had this light up lightsaber, and then I'll like unveil a second light up lightsaber that I'm gonna let you all share and come up and fight me for, you know, we're gonna do the combo on me. To me, like that's just as good, if not better, than an actual demonstration where they get to watch you spin it around and stuff.
And if anybody's ever watched the way Disney does it, Disney does the
Oh,
Lightsaber
like the Disney
Academy.
parks.
It takes 10 minutes. You know, they all learn high, high, low, low, and then they cycle them through. The problem with that is that they're only learning that. They get maybe 10 minutes, and then you get your cool video, and then you're done, right? They don't even get to keep their saber. They don't get
Yeah.
to do any of that. But it's cool. They fight Darth Vader or they fight Darth Maul.
Well, and that's what you're doing
And
in a one-off event like this, right? You're just trying to give them like as much of a quote-unquote sugar high as you can.
you give them an experience. And if you do that, right, they don't start that way, right? They don't start with, here's Darth Vader, he's going to teach us stuff. It's, oh no, Darth Vader or Darth Maul are here. We have to fight them off at the very end.
Yeah.
So that's basically what you have to I mean, listen, Disney has paid more psychologists and, you know, ad scientists and stuff like that. I'll trust that their model works.
Yeah, it's not even a martial arts model. It's literally just a babysitting model, and it works every
It's
time.
a it's yeah, and it's an entertaining one, and it looks great,
Yes.
right? And that's actually what most parents want out of lightsaber, you know, or saber martial arts. And the thing about like adults doing it is a whole different story, right? Because you'll have the adult that wants to say, "Yeah, I did that," and check it off their bucket list, and then you'll have the adults that are just like, you know, there's a lot more to this. I do want to study more. I'm into this for the long haul. This is a martial art, you know. So there's the big gamut, right? So you have to, again, know your students, know who you're dealing with, know your space, know your equipment, and that's about it. I think
Yeah,
that's
that
we've
sounds.
covered all the bases.
And we're right about an hour and a half. So that is, I mean, I told you before we even hit record, I think we were going to be able to nail it into a nice, concise episode. And here we are.
Nice.
So let's finish up with some of this. We have been crossing our fingers and typing away as well, and searching and scrolling and calling and doing all kinds of things to try and bring you all some fun. We have always had some benefits to being affiliated or being a listener, but we're trying to expand that. And part of that is we would like to start and are going to start selling some things like Action Flex sabers. We don't do it yet. So by the time you hear this, it will not be live yet. But sooner than later is the goal. And what we'd like to do is for people who listen, first of all, thank you. For people who are affiliated or become affiliated, second of all, thank you. We want to make sure that if you need something like uniforms or some good training weaponry, be it wooden weaponry or foam lightsabers or, you know, shoes.
Sparring pads.
Mitts for, you know, boxing drills or targeting drills and things like that. A punching bag. We can make it available to you and potentially at a better price than you might be able to get it normally. So we're working with companies that we love and trust and use, which is the most important thing. Not only do we like them, we actually use them every single day, 7 days a week. And we're also in some talks with some companies that maybe haven't hit the market yet. That we potentially may be hitting the market with on some things. More on that to come, but definitely...
Yeah, very exciting.
Definitely look for things like Action Flex and stuff like that to be hitting our website soon, which is... What again, Alan? What's our website again?
SaberMartialArts.life.
Oh, yeah, that's right. SaberMartialArts.life. Also... I will put the link again in the episode description for a Duelist jersey, an official Saber Martial Arts Duelist jersey that all you suckers can wear to, sorry, y'all not suckers, to that you can wear to your favorite Saber event. You don't even really have to be a SMAF affiliate to order this shirt. And by the way, we're not making cha-chings off it very much at all. So, you know, don't feel like you're feathering our pockets on this one. This one's just for you to feel like you got something cool to wear to a Saber event. So it's a really cool blue Duelist official Saber Martial Arts shirt. And I call it a jersey. You'll see the link for that in the description of this episode. The other thing I want you to do is head to Instagram if you do that and go to @SMA Foundation and go ahead and follow us, because that is where you will get as many updates as possible. We don't do much on Facebook these days, though we have a presence. It's just not a place we're super, super involved in as an organization at the moment. YouTube is the other place I want you to go check out. Check out some gamer martial arts as well as some replays of the podcasts. There's tournament footage up there. There's honestly, we have a ton of videos. We have way more videos than I even realized we had several years. We've been doing this since 2018 officially, but much longer than that unofficially. So go check out our YouTube, subscribe to that, share all this with your friends, and most importantly, bring your own saber.
Bring your own saber. This party's over.